here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
Yeah, we're the number one live streaming show that I'm the host of.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
Streaming live.
Feel the power.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and man, am I sideways right now. We're supposed to be going live on Amazon, and apparently there's some setting missing. I don't know what it is. Whatever. I'm gonna mess with it in the background. We're still going to be talking about what the tech. I got my friend James Hicks coming on here in just a minute. So whatever. It's live streaming, man. This is what happens when you try to live stream to every platform on the planet. I'm going to figure this shiz out. You better bet your bottom dollar on that. But anyway, hope you guys are doing great. This is my last live stream from Puerto Rico, so I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a good time. So right after this live stream, I'm going to re-tear down all this stuff. As you can see, I'm using an iPhone today and not my camera, which I wanted to talk about on the Amazon live stream. But anyway, I'll still tell you where you can go. Chris Stone already in the chat said the number one show that Billy Thorpe's the host of. Let's go, James Hicks. And speaking of James Hicks, I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. No segments today. I want to have fun with James and obviously now get all flustered about Amazon Live. What's up, James? How's it going, my man?
What's good, man? Listen, mama, I done made it. I'm on Creating Daily. Somebody tell somebody.
Here we go. I had to pay a lot of money to get this guy on here, by the way.
Well,
guys,
you know, Venmo, Cash App, all that. Send it my way, brother. It's good to see you, man.
Buy me a coffee, all that stuff.
All that.
Yeah, man, it's good. Good to see you too, James. Our big plan of doing Amazon Live is not working. Chris, look at the tech support, man. This is why you got to build a great community, because Chris is already in the chat. Make sure it's 720p to go live on Amazon. I am definitely on there. I actually tested this out last night. It is what it is. I'm on 720p. Hey. I got high quality video mode. I toggled it on and off. I've done all this stuff. We'll see what happens, though.
What are you going to do? Again, man, it's live streaming. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's why we're in this business, right? Just for the things that happen when we don't expect it, right?
Exactly. But we can still help people, you know, figure out their tech problems. If tech is what's holding you back, we can still figure that out. And so, James, I love it that you've joined me, man. I appreciate you jumping on. And so real quick, I had all my notes, but I've been scattered here. So give us a little bit of just, you know, quick background on you. I hate asking this question, by the way. I'm sorry I got to ask it to you, but I'm going to scramble and pick up my notes here since I was frazzled. But give me a little backstory on how you got to being a content creator in particular.
No worries, brother. Listen, before I get going with that, man, again, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be on Creating Daily, being on your show. I'm a fan. I watch it almost every day myself. I'm James Hicks. I'm an engineering technologist by trade and by education, focused mainly on the enterprise technology space. But when it comes to content creation, my role, my journey, my mission really is to allow others to tell their stories, right? So I press record, I turn these lights on, and I let individuals come on and tell what's most important and relevant to them. I love doing that. For probably the last decade, I've been doing it primarily on the tech space, on the blog side, right? Using WordPress and utilizing that platform. But the last 2 years, really been getting deep into the video aspect, getting deep into the audio aspect as well, and allowing folks to, again, have a platform to share their stories with the world, because everyone has something interesting to say. And listen, let me be the conduit to allow you to share that message. So that's me, man, in a nutshell, just out here in these streets causing trouble, right?
Yeah, man, I love it, dude. Well, and I've been on your show. I was on there a week or so ago, or maybe 2 weeks. Yeah. I'm losing track of time quickly as I'm approaching this move. And man, you have such a clean, crisp video. Your audio sounds great. You got the look, dude. Everything is great. Lights in the background. I mean, I love it. And that's why I was like, dude, James, we got to do a show where we talk about, you know, tech, because I know you help people get over this. And I think there's a lot of fear around technology, and right. I mean, and we could go software, we could go hardware, we could go any way we want to now that we're not on Amazon Live. But that is a part of, like, I feel like what keeps people back the most is they have a message, they have a mission, but they're like, oh yeah, I just can't figure out the tech stuff. And so I love it that you're on a mission to say, hey, it ain't that hard, it ain't that complicated. I mean, obviously, yeah, look at me. I do it every day. I crushed it, right?
Well, and you see, right now, you're rocking with a mobile phone right now, right? So, I mean, you're doing it. You turn the buttons on and you're live. And I say a lot of times, folks, get out of your own way, right? Because that's a lot of times that limiting factor, that limiting the belief that you can't do it. It's not as difficult as it was 3, 4, 5, maybe years ago, right? Now, there are platforms that make it, again, just really click easy to get online from your mobile device, from a much more elaborate studio if you've got that, multiple cameras, multiple lights, all of that. Just, you know, having that push, having that conversation with someone who's 3 feet down the road further than you, that can help you to get to where you need to be, right? No one's necessarily an expert. We're all generalists and we all rely on other folks. I listen to Chris Stones of the world, the Billy Thorpes of the world. I'm watching them as well and making sure that, you know, I'm leveling up and doing similar types of activities, but we all learn from each other. There's no I here. It's all we and, you know, the team aspect, trying to make sure that everyone reaches the finish line.
Yeah, man, 100% agree with you on that. And I think that's what I love about, you know, this live streaming community that you and Chris and Jim and, you know, Doc and all these guys and gals who are helping each other. It's really like we're really passionate about bringing the whole industry up, not just and there's people in our community in particular and in your community that could probably stand alone and just dominate and not help anybody else. But I love it that this live stream community in particular is really, and podcasting as well, is really, you know, elevating each other. And I've learned a lot, man. Even, you know, even as low tech as I am today, I'm still having a great time and having fun with it, man. So it's all.
How's that wallet doing though? Right. Every time you go and you listen to someone, how's that checking account balance doing, man? Goodness gracious. Right.
You know, one time I was on Clubhouse and Tom Buck was on there and, I just got off mic cause it was like people were chatting with him, asking him questions. I said, Tom, I just want to let you know, man, my wife will be reaching out to you for all the stuff I bought from watching your videos.
I blame him for it, right?
Yeah, right. It's his fault.
Every time the Amazon truck shows up, it's not a good thing, man.
Yeah,
not
dude. Every time that smiley face shows up, my wife gives me a frowny face. I'm like, honey, it's a tax write off. I promise. We're gonna. Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried that one. I'm trying to still get in the front door of my house. I'm not going to try that one. Right? look at all these people you got in the comments. We got Ireland. We got Pakistan.
Yeah,
we got
Doug
SmackDown Outdoors. Liz Marasco. My goodness.
I have no idea where all these people came from.
Now, listen, they came to see you. I'm just here, you know, to instigate, heckle from the back of the room. That's my job. As long as I can do that, then my job is done.
So man, let's jump into some tech talk here, man. Let's jump into tech. I think everybody's show is named Tech Talk. What the tech? That's the name of the show. Man, so when it comes to creating video and audio, we'll say live streaming because that's what we're doing right now. We'll just kind of keep it this way. What do you feel like is the most important thing when you're bringing together, you're putting together a live, you know, show? What do you feel like is the most important?
Counterintuitive to that, even though we're talking about tech, it's not the gear, it's not the technology, it's not the stuff, it's the message, right? At the end of the day, first of all, understanding that it's not about you either, right? It's about the community and it's about the folks that are listening, it's about the folks that are watching. It's all about them. Pull yourself out of the driver's seat and understand that whatever you do, you're doing it for your community. That's what's most important. Once you got the content piece down, then obviously you want to make sure that even though we're live streaming and we're going video, video's cool, but man, if you don't sound right, I'm going to leave, right? If your audio is not where it needs to be, but I can get by with some weak video. I can get by Amazon 720p, right? 720. We can get by with that, but man, if you don't sound right, if you've got crackling, if I hear dogs barking, I mean, all that, just if it's a low quality audio piece, that's tough, right? So that really needs to be at the forefront of what you're going to be providing as a service after the content piece. Make sure that you at least sound right, and then you can start adding all of the extra ancillary. Ooh, that's a big word. I've never used that word. Other stuff to your environment.
I might have to tone down. I don't want to break out my dictionary to figure out what the heck you're
talking
about.
Come on, man. Listen, you know.
You can't use those big words, man. Britannica. Did you read the writer? No big words. Like, Billy doesn't know big words.
I can say them. I don't know how to spell them. So don't ask me to spell them.
Well, dude, and I'll tell you that. So, you know, when you're talking about audio, that's kind of a funny story that happened to me yesterday. So I got on this kick where, you know, I kind of panicked a couple days ago. I'm like, I don't know if all this stuff's going to fit my suitcase. I've added a couple, you know, I added a teleprompter. I've added a boom arm, a bigger boom arm than what I brought with me. And I'm like, I don't know if this is going to fit my suitcase. So I kind of have this panic mode. I tear all my gear down, put it in my suitcase to make sure it's going to work. And then I'm like, okay, cool. This is awesome. It works. I'm going to go super low key. I'm going to use my camera on my laptop. I'm going to use my Bluetooth headphones, or I'm just going to use the mic on my laptop. And I talked myself into doing this. And I thought, oh, for James and I, it'll be a good show. I'll do my show yesterday like that, and then today I'll do my show like that so I can grab everything and show it for Amazon.
Right, right.
And, man, about 25 minutes before the show starts yesterday, I start freaking out because I'm like, I tested the audio. I'm like, this audio sounds terrible. Like, I can't do this. Like, I heard the air conditioner, the dogs barking down the neighborhood. There's no, you know, my Roadcaster has a noise gate. And I'm like, dude, I can't do it. I just start freaking, like, cold sweating. I start ripping stuff out of my suitcase and, you know, and really just unpack the audio. That was what I was really after. Because even video, I didn't put my nice camera with the nice lens and all that stuff back up.
Yeah.
I literally just put my audio up because I'm with you, man. If the audio is bad, that's really the only thing in content creation that I can find that can physically hurt somebody. Like, if they got their earbuds in and your audio is junk and squelchy and squeaky and, you know, whatever, it's like, that's actually really uncomfortable and painful for your audience. So I love that you said that, man. I love that you brought
that up. Also, think about this as well. I mean, so when I go to the gym, I consume YouTube. Instead of listening to music a lot of times, I'm consuming YouTube by just listening to it as an audio podcast, right? Oh, so gotcha. Every time that something is going off, I rarely turn on music. I'll listen to an audio book or I'll listen to somebody's YouTube stream. And again, if I can't hear it, if it's not compelling, if it's not clear, unfortunately, I'm going to leave. And that may cost that creator a subscriber. That may cost me, you know, someone coming back later on as well. So get these fundamentals and these foundational pieces in first. Worry about the content piece. Make sure you have a compelling story. Make sure you're focused on the community. Then make sure you sound right. And then after that, again, like I say, start adding in all the extra bells and whistles, man. But worry about the stuff that matters and resonates with the messages that you're trying to push out. And then again, build off of that. Slowly build off of that. Don't try to do it all at one time, right?
Yeah, don't do it all at one time. Like, well, and that's my point too, man. Like, when I started live streaming 2 or 3 years ago, I literally borrowed a camera from my neighbor, borrowed a microphone. I borrowed everything. I just borrowed it because I'm like, I don't know. They don't have it. They're just hanging out. So, you know, they're not using it. And maybe I could use it every Tuesday night. And so I did that, man, for like 25 live streams in a row every week. Yeah. I just borrowed gear. But, man, talking about, you know, particular product, what do you recommend if somebody just walked into your world and said, Hey, James, I need a microphone I'm going to use my webcam or something. I just need a microphone. Like, what is there particular ones that you recommend?
Man, listen, I was looking at for the coughing, folks. Again, I'm 90% clear of COVID, and it's, again, no joke. So make sure you're taking care of yourself. I recommend the best gear that you can afford. All right, so it's either USB. Okay, if you can only afford to go with the USB microphone, okay, that's fine. There's some fantastic ones out there. We can talk about name brands if we want to, but again, there's some good stuff out there. If you can afford to step up to where you have an audio interface and where you can go XLR, you're going to get a much cleaner sound. You're going to get much more control over the audio dynamics as well by being able to control that. So, listen, I've gone from everything from the what is it? The Elgato NT1, NT-USB. I've gone from those. I've gone from, you see, I'm rocking the SM7B. This is the Michael Jackson mic, man. Come on, man. I'm using the Michael Jackson use. So we can't go wrong with that.
If you weren't coming off COVID, I'd say go ahead and give us a little bit of Thriller right there, but I don't want to put you on the spot.
I don't want to get you, you know, copyright restrictions if I start singing Billie Jean on this stream. We can't have that. I don't want you to not be monetized as you throw this on YouTube.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I love it, dude. I love that, you know, and that's what I didn't do either. Like, I went out and got, I had an interface or whatever, and then I discovered, like, USB microphones. So I actually kind of went the opposite way. Like, I had an interface. I had an XLR microphone, and then I got a USB microphone because I was like, this is pretty dope. So it's real easy. I can hook it up. And when I'm buying gear, man, I'm kind of that weird dude where no one likes me because I'm always like, I'm cheap. So I like want to buy one piece of gear that will do like everything. And, it's so, you know, my point in buying it or actually asking for Christmas for the ATR 2100. Now that I think they got the ATR 2100X was because I wanted something mobile to use with my laptop, but then also I could plug it right into my phone and do, you know, like IG lives or any of that kind of stuff as well through the USB connection. So, you know, when we're thinking about these products, like think about how you can use it multiple ways. Like you podcast with yours, you live stream with yours, you know, all kinds of different ways to utilize these pieces of gear for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of gear that's mobile centric. A company called IK Multimedia makes some gear that just works when you're out there doing mobile production, mobile, content creation, things like that. Old school Zoom, right? Zoom, you always think about being able to plug in multiple devices, and not Zoom the video
software,
meetings, not them, but the Zoom, the hardware and the auto interface company. They make components to where you can plug in multiple cameras, XLR cameras into a device, record it locally to that device, and then be able to stream that out from the SD card. So there are a lot of manufacturers that are making devices and equipment for, again, in studio, remote studio, on location, and things of that nature. Yes, some really good stuff out there.
Yeah, man. I like the speaking of like so we talked about a little bit about microphones. So you have a USB microphone, and then we have like XLR connection. So we are both using the SM7B, which in my mind this is like, what would you call this, a pro level mic, or would you call it like a mid level? I mean, I know there's some mics that are like 10K, but I don't know.
That's right. See, that's an interesting question, right? And again, I always preface when I talk about this mic, I talk about, the mic that Michael Jackson used. So from that perspective, professional microphone, high end, great quality, built from a long legacy of the SM7 family from Shure. So this does it. It's only $400. And it's only $400 as compared to like a Warm Audio or a Neumann, I got to say it right. The Neumann microphones, which are $3,000-$4,000. How do I know that? Because I'm looking at them. But
I got two of them right here.
My wife's not watching this right now, and I'm talking about buying a $3,000. Not gonna buy that one, baby. I'm looking at the Warm Audio, which is $1,500. But this is right in between in terms of price point. There are some other phenomenal microphones, condenser microphones, dynamic microphones, things of that nature. This, long story short, long answer short, this is a professional grade, high grade microphone. It's near the higher end of, I think, the prosumer mark line, being $400, because you can get something else like the Lewitt LCT 440 Pure that I love as well. And I've got it on my stand back here. That's $249 or something like that. I think the MV7 and the MV7B from Shure are around the $250 mark as well. So I tell folks a lot of time as well, you get what you pay for now, but it's relative as well. So $100 to $400, you can be really well taken care of in the podcasting live streaming space from an audio perspective.
Yeah, man. And I think too, when it comes to microphones, I am always in the mindset, especially for people who don't have like the greatest recording space, because the microphone is great, but you also got to have your space set up pretty good. I'm always pushing them to dynamic microphones. Is that what you're doing as well?
Exactly that, right? Because, man, you got sirens, you got air conditioning, you got dogs, you got kids. If you got a condenser microphone, it's going to pick up all of that. By default, and, you know, that's what the microphone is built for. But from a dynamic mic perspective, it's really toned in, and locked into what's coming either from the front or the side, you know, depending on the polar pattern. So dynamic microphone is just the way to go to make sure that, from my perspective, again, just in my humble opinion, to make sure you're dialing in that sound spectrum on your audio interface.
Yeah, man. I 100% agree, and I think I found that out the hard way with a couple projects I did early on. There's some really good companies out there that had big marketing budgets, and it was like, oh, this is the podcaster's mic. You know, everybody ran out and bought it. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I don't think this is going to work out. Chris Stone over here in the chat says, great stuff, James, as always. Patience is key. It's a long game. What's up, John? How's it going, man? Good to see you. We were supposed to be on Amazon Live, but Mr. Bill messed it up over here somehow. I got to figure that one out. But anyway, we'll do it again, James. We'll do another one where we co-host the Amazon Live show. That'll be fun.
I'm here anytime, man. You got the number to the bat phone. Call me anytime, well, brother. Yeah.
Don't tempt me with a good time, man. I go live every day at 2 p.m. So I'm like, James, what are you doing? Push the button. So man, we talked a little bit about microphones. Let's talk about a little bit about interfaces, because I think this is, you know, for people who really want to level up and you kind of talked about some of those. So what are some of the easier interfaces to use? I'll say, I know there's a bunch of them, and I got a couple here I could show. Well, I got one I can show probably.
I'll get in that, but I wanted to talk to this comment that came in. I'm not sure if you can see it on my side too, from SmackDown Outdoors. Doug says, spend more on the sound treatment, not soundproofing of your room, than you do on your microphone. And that, man, that's critical and that's key right there. We can go for an hour just talking about that. Yeah, but again, 100%. take care of your room, your dynamics. Make sure you got carpet versus hardwood floors. I mean, all of that, the echoing, the balancing, put some panels, things of that, and just make sure again that you got higher end gear within your studio environment. But yeah, that's a whole conversation right there. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say that.
Well, man, and I agree. So I'll jump in real quick because we can give some tips around this and a couple things which I had in my Amazon carousel that I no longer have. Is one of those weather stripping things for under your door. You wouldn't believe how much stuff comes in underneath your door. And so it's got two big tubes, essentially, just foam, and you just basically slide it under there. And it's just, you know, it kind of goes with your door when you open and close it. I've done that. I've put a little weather stripping around the door. And those two things, man, crushed out a lot of sound, outside noise coming in. There's all kinds of stuff, man. Like, I got a blanket hanging on the wall. I got, here in Puerto Rico, it's all concrete and tile, man. So I took the... We got Airbnb.
It's the sound of the ocean. All you got is, the boring sound of the ocean. Come on, brother.
So I got a couple mattresses, like twin mattresses we took. It's Airbnb, so we didn't need all these beds. So we took them and I put them, you know, the landlord's like, I'll take them out. I'm like, no, they're soundproofing. So I just put them up in the corners. I use whatever I can, man.
Do what you can with what you got. And listen, look at Stone coming in here with some knowledge. You're dropping some gems. Put that up there. Golly, you got some geniuses on in the live and in the comment section. Come on.
Yeah, man, this is good. Yeah, all better than a $400 microphone. That's good. Yeah, and you can buy a $100 mic, treat a room, and make it sound good. And it always cracks me up because I see people, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know why my audio doesn't sound good. I'm like, where are you recording? In the kitchen? In the kitchen?
In the bathroom. Wait a minute, no, that's not the right place to be.
The granite. Go in your closet. You want the best place? Go in your closet and record. Figure that out.
There you go. That's, I mean, dead, you see a quiet. Lot of folks that record their audiobooks and do their voiceovers literally in the closet. That's where to go. See, you get me on and I start deviating and squirrel. You told me to go towards the audio interface world, and I'm still soundproofing rooms. Come on. I'm sorry.
We're having fun, man. We're just nerding out, and hopefully people are picking up some stuff and going, oh, okay, I can do that. I can do that. So, man, let's talk about interfaces. What do you got over there? What do you like?
Come on now. It's Rode. It's Rodecaster Pro, brother. Listen, huh? You get what you get, don't throw a fit. Rodecaster Pro and saw some leaks coming out. We cannot confirm nor deny.
Oh, I can confirm.
There may be another one coming down the road of the Rodecaster Pro preamp audio interface. Listen, this is the way to go, right? From being able to, and I know you use it every single day, multicasting, multi-streaming to both audio platforms and the video platforms, but just being able to plug in your mobile device and pull in audio from that perspective, being able to have sound files that you can play, right, all of the audio inserts and things like that, MIDI configurations, multiple mics, ours, you know, the Rodecaster Pro 1, I'm going to call it. You can have four XLR microphones plugged in. You can record directly to an SD card on the interface, which is incredibly great because you have no issues with the audio. If the internet was to go down right now from California to Puerto Rico, God forbid, we don't want that to happen. But again, I'm recording locally the audio for this stream. So I've got crystal clear output that I can pull right from my SD card. It's just the way to go, right? Again, you get what you pay for. And if you can, you get the best gear that you can afford. And Rodecaster Pro is where I'm at. There's others out there. Yeah. Focusrite makes a decent one as well. That's the only other one I've used. I've used the Focusrite 2i2, but the Rode is where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've used the Focusrite. I've used the LiveTrack L8 by Zoom. Actually, that one was pretty dope because it was more analog, and that's kind of my style. So, yeah, somebody even posted SmackDown Outdoors LiveTrack L8. Very similar. So I've done that one. I got the Podtrac P4 that my co-host uses. That thing is pretty dope for the 200, 220. Probably. There's my 3-year-old. He's got to be a part of the stream every day. Him and the dogs. And then also, man, I picked up, because my Rodecaster, speaking of Rode, had a little problem with the headphone outputs on the back. So channel 2, 3, and 4 on the back, the right or left side, I can't remember, doesn't work.
Okay.
And so I got to send it back, and I was going to send it back from Puerto Rico, but it cost too much. But I picked up this little Tascam Mini Studio.
Tascam is dope. Okay, there you go.
Little two-channel thing. Dude, this thing's preamps, man, for $150, I think. This thing is pretty dope, man. Like, I was pretty impressed. Now, it doesn't have all the sound isolation and, you know, like all the gate, noise gate and all that kind of stuff. But Tascam, and I think the Mixcast 4 is a pretty good device as well. That's coming out.
Tascam has been around for a long time. Look, back in the Radio Shack days, Tascam has been around for a minute. So they know what they're doing. I just dated myself, right? I'm Radio Shack.
Hey, I worked at Radio Shack, man. I'm in. I probably worked there like the last like 5 years they were open, somewhere around there.
Yeah, anyway. we're old. We're seasoned. I'm not going to say old. We're seasoned. How about that? Yeah.
We don't even want to talk about the little drawers, man. I miss those drawers with all those little tools and gadgets and gadgets. Oh, my gosh, man.
I got those in my garage, brother. Listen, I'm old school. I got some of that action going on here, too. Yeah, Radio Shack. Someone needs to bring them back. And Toys R Us. Those two stores need to come back. That's my pledge right there. Someone help us out with that.
And Blockbuster, man, I'll put them in the mix. Which I know there's still one left somewhere out west there. He says Radio Shack is back, by the way, online only.
No, man, we need to walk in there and, you know, be able to pick up radio components and build a CB radio and all that stuff. I need to walk in and come on. Okay, online. That's good, though.
Toys R Us is coming back. What? Where are you getting your news, SmackDown? You got me all worked up over here. What's happening? But, yeah, man, so anyway, the Rodecaster Pro 2, it was leaked by a company in New Zealand. I think they, like, put it on their website. So my friend Michael Sterling at Sterling, I think it's Sterling Clear Audio or sterlingclear.online, picked up that story, ran with it on his blog, and we were actually talking about it in a clubhouse room on Tuesday night. There's a Rodecaster Pro room where a bunch of people get together who have it, and we kind of help each other if we need, or they help other people or whatever. And so anyway, man, we're talking, we're you know, doing whatever. And this dude jumps on the stage and was like, yeah, I work for Rode. How did you guys find out about this? So unless he was really convincing liar, it's definitely confirmed and they should be announcing it in the next week or so. So we'll see. But, you know, I mean, I know Tom Buck has one. I saw it. I know what that.
Listen, when I saw the story, I sent him a message on Facebook and just said, sir. Right. And that was it. He responded back with a little happy face. So he hasn't confirmed or denied. But, OK, let me ask you this. Let's talk a little bit about gas. Let's talk a little bit about gear acquisition syndrome. We both have. I've got the RCP number one. Man. You get number two. Do you need number two? But are you getting number two?
I don't know.
You just showed me a Tascam. You got all this other stuff too. Just because it's shiny and new, you gonna get the new one?
You know, yes, I am.
There you go. That's my guy right there.
I'm gonna sell some stuff. I'm committed to selling stuff to buy it. But I'm definitely gonna buy it, man. I mean, I just have to. You know, it's like I love this one, even though it has little issues. I'm gonna get it fixed. Maybe even keep it. Maybe even whatever, but I get a camera. You know, I get a couple camera lenses. I've used this camera lens three times. I'm going to sell it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and let me put that in perspective, and I kind of set you up with that, to be honest with you. It's okay for a gas gear acquisition shim, as we call it here in these content creation streets. And again, those of us that are early adopters, those of us that are coaches, those of us that are consultants and help others along their way of building out their studios and their environments, we are obligated to know about this equipment as it comes out, either just from a 100% specs perspective, from a technology utilization perspective. And again, if we can continue to level up our gear and our environments as well, I'm going to bless somebody with this Rodecaster when I get the new one. But yeah, I'm also going to get it. But it's our duty, right, to be aware of what's going on, know the stories, know what's coming out, acquire it when we can, and then pass it on to individuals that we work with. It's just like all these cameras, right? We got all these lenses, all these bodies. As Sony comes out with the next one, the next one, the next one, we're going to continue to level up lights. We're going to continue to level up and move forward. But again, I said it jokingly, but it's our duty as the consultants, as the coaches, as the creators, as the ones at the forefront, 3 feet ahead of someone else, to go and get this gear, learn about this gear, so we can talk about this gear.
Exactly. So I need everybody watching or listening to head over to buymeacoffee.com, find James and I, and buy us both a coffee. We need lots of coffee so we can buy this thing when it comes out, so we can be ready for you. We're doing this for you, man. Guys. Come on over. So, yeah, man, I agree with you. And that's kind of how I just, you know, I guess if I have to justify it, like, that's how I would justify. Like, man, I need to be in the know. Like, I'm helping people with this stuff on, you know, consulting and everything. So, and they're going to want to buy it too. You know, people want to upgrade and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, man, from that room, dude, that we did the other night, I think it's like 16 times faster than the Rodecaster Pro. It's going to have 3 USB-C ports. You can hook up like 2 computers. I mean, this guy was talking stuff. I'm like, would I ever do that? Like 2 computers at a time to bring in 2 different sources. I mean, it's going to be fire. It's got enough gain boost on it where you don't have to have a Fed head or a cloud lifter.
Really? Okay. 'Cause I didn't see all that. So I'm loving that piece. Okay. You got both eyebrows that just raised up just now. Yeah. Just when you said that. Okay.
So for guys who are like, hey, I want a studio. I want the 7Bs, but I don't want to buy 4 of them and 4 cloud lifters. I mean, you just saved $900, you know, whatever in cloud.
Wow, that's cool. Okay.
So yeah, man. And anyway, man, and then it's got a little app and stuff where you can trigger sound effects from a distance, you know, from a you know, whatever, if you want to on your phone. So yeah, it's got some network port on there. He wouldn't say what it was or how you use it. But dual jacks for instruments and XLR. I mean, it's fire, dude. It's pretty crazy. I can't even. Yeah. Anyway, it got me pumped.
I mean, we can Monday morning quarterback this and pontificate. Another big word.
I know what that one is. I know what that one is.
Wonder what it's going to. What else is it going to replace? Right? Does this start maybe even getting into Stream Deck world? Does it start getting into ATEM Mini world? Right? Again, just by replacing other gear within your studio, by allowing you to have just one big mixing board that does so much more than just input and output of microphones. So again, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm gonna do a little more research right now. That's cool.
Well,
that's
and I'm gonna see if I can bring it up here. You know, we had all this fancy screen set up for other stuff. I'm gonna see if I can find this. We'll see if I can find it while we're chatting. But yeah, man, it is probably, they said it's going to be this guy, you know, of course he works there. So it's like, whatever, but he's like, there's nothing like it in the market. There's nothing like it. It can even come close to it, you know? So they're going to knock it out. And I think it's going to come with a lot of software opportunities as well, which is really interesting. But I think what they did was they said, hey, we, you know, our first one was kind of like podcast. And we realized a lot of streamers, a lot of musicians want to use it, use our products. And so they kind of listened to all 3 of these communities and their list of desires and kind of made a machine for everyone. So,
so you think about it. So the first one was about $700, right? How much is too much? Or how much is to where it gets uncomfortable and to where, again, you start questioning, is this right for me? You know, kind of answer the question of SmackDown Outdoors, right? How much do you think this is going to cost? $995. It's a weird number, but
it's,
you
know,
when you start getting over
four less. Digits. So we asked this question in this clubhouse room. We're like, so what's the price? And he's like, you guys are speculating. I mean, somebody speculated like 1,400, and he's like, it's south of 800. Like, it's under. He's okay. He's like, it should be 1,000 for sure. It could be 1,000, but it's less than what you guys are saying. So we were like somewhere between 800 and 1,400, and okay. And he wouldn't say the exact price, but he was just like, it's less. And so anyway, I don't know, man. We'll see. You know, if they kept it at that $599 price point, I don't know how they would, but if they did. Oh, dude, and it's kind of, oh, man, I can't forget so many stuff about this, but it's got the screen that it doesn't tilt. It's not, it's a lock screen, but it is angled now, so you can actually see it. Okay. So, yeah.
One thing here just popped into my head about this, and we've been talking about Amazon Live, and this just hit my head. Rode does not have an official Amazon presence. So you may see Rode gear on Amazon, but again, it's not officially licensed, authorized reseller. Buy your Rode gear from B&H, Adorama, Best Buy, Guitar Center, things of that nature. If you're taking chances, just want to let you guys know, Rode explicitly lists on their website as well that they don't have an authorized location and presence on Amazon. So kind of keep that in mind as well, folks.
That's a good tip, man. That's because everybody goes to Amazon. Everybody goes right over, but... Yeah, I did not know that. That's good. Even for Amazon Live sellers, you know, Amazon Live creators too. Like, don't be promoting on there because you get your people in a sideways spot.
There you go.
Let's see. Yeah. So Victor says, so how much is too much? How much will hurt you?
I decline to answer that, sir. I decline to answer that.
I'm going to watch Tom Buck's video, and then I'll make a decision how much is too much.
Right. No, because he's a great salesman, right? Tom will have you buying sand from the beach, boy. He'll put a thumbnail on it, and he'll start with the dad jokes. Next thing you know, you dropping the credit card down, and come on, man. He's dangerous,
dude. He is.
Love you, brother, but he's dangerous.
He gets me in trouble, man. I'm like, honey, I just watched this video by Tom, and I gotta go buy this thing. She's like, stop watching that dude's video. Like,
who is this Tom? Who is Tom? You know.
I know, man. It's so crazy. So man, we kind of jumped into mics. We kind of jumped into interfaces a little bit. Let's talk about cameras, because you said Sony. I'm a Canon guy, and I got a reason why I'm a Canon guy, but I want to hear more about your Sony setup, because I think the autofocus on those things, and I don't know what you're using versus everyone else in the eCam community, but that autofocus is fast. I mean, it is.
Say it again.
Fast.
Say it one more time.
That autofocus is fast.
Man, listen, come on now. You know, shouts out to all of y'all out there running Canon, running Nikon. You know, I started with Pentax back in the old days when I was actually taking photos. But listen, if you're going to be making video content out here in these streets, Sony, done. No questions, if, ands, or buts. Unlimited video recording. We're not stuck at that 29-minute mark.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Brother, yeah, you can't record. Come on. See, Canon is fantastic for photos. They really are. One of the leading out there, the Nikons, the Pentaxes, the Panasonics, all of them. Canon's number two, right? But when it comes to video, who started everything? Who is the leader? Who knows what? Right. Who was the originator of this? You know, it really was Sony. And again, unlimited video. When you're out there remotely and you've got your device, you can record as long as you got space on your SD card. You're not stuck at that 29 minute mark. On the Canons, you can only record up 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that's some like weird like tax law from like the UK or something, right? It's like, that's why.
Something
weird.
I don't know.
Really,
I'm not in that situation.
Must be the category they put it in. Is it technically called a DSLR? Or is it called a camcorder?
Mirrorless. Some of their new mirrorless cameras allow you to go up above that 29 minute mark, but you know, legacy and up to this point, the M50s, I think the Mark II M50 allows you to go past that 30 minute mark. But again, that's just something to be cognizant of, that there are limitations on some of these DSLR/ new mirrorless providers that have a limit in terms of how much time you can actually record video. You don't have that limitation on Sony. I'm looking, I see out of the side of my eye, I see comments just coming in.
Yeah,
people are just probably
up.
Just, people are hot now. I don't even want to look at it because I didn't pull the band-aid off.
No, it's all
good.
Somebody. They're all saying, okay. Like, yay.
I didn't pull the band-aid. I'm not even going to look at them. But yeah, I'm all Sony. I've got two ZV E10s running here. So two APS-C cameras running as my alternate views. I've got a ZV-1 APS-C as my top-down shot as well. So I've got three right there. Mm. And my main camera is the the A7IV. So I've got the full frame A7IV with that, that dynamic high speed autofocus, just kicking it right with the 20mm. I shoot Sony glass too.
Okay.
I switched from Sigma lenses to Sony lenses when I got the A7IV because the A7IV has a compensation for the breathing, focus breathing. Right. The other cameras, meaning that it's not moving back and forth as I move. It's locked in. It's locked in right now on this eye.
To your retina. Yeah.
It's still locked in. Yeah. Right. It's right. It doesn't move. So there's a compensation for the focus breathing on the A7IV as opposed to some of the other cameras out there.
Chris Stone, he's with you, man. He's saying, I just need the supply chain to come back so I can get another Sony. Well, man, and that was, you know, I got the, which I have it here because I'm tearing out my stuff and packing it up. I got the Canon EOS RP, and this thing actually has a retina focus, I guess is what they call it or something like that. But it is nowhere near as fast, man. I'm watching all these Sony guys. I'm like, wow, look at that. I mean, I'm over here like, look at my eyes, man. Look at my eyes. And so anyway, I'm pretty impressed. But the reason why I went with Canon is I have a photographer friend who shoots with Canon. And it came down to glass, dude. He had so much of like everything. Gotcha. He's like, dude, if you buy a Canon body, you can use my lenses until you build up your own, you know,
collection. That's cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
So that's why I did it. However, I've been thinking about a Sony, man. Maybe I'll have to talk to some of you guys and say, hey, which one do I sell all this stuff and get it? Because I like Canon, but doing this, man, I'm literally, it's just a webcam. It's like a fancy, really expensive, fancy webcam. And I'm plugging it into the wall power, so I'm not really worried about the 30-minute recording. However, maybe I would go do stuff if I knew I didn't have a limitation.
Well, no, so the 30-minute recording is not based on if you're just plugged into AC power, but it's a limitation of the hardware in and of itself, right? A lot of the DSLR new mirrorless cameras only have that limit of being able to record to 29 minutes.
Oh, mine will record all day. Like, I'll leave it on all day.
Cool.
I don't know. I thought it was only for a memory card, but I also did not know that Sony had unlimited recording, so I'm learning a bunch. Yeah, I love the stream, man. I learned so much about Sony products.
I'll give you the unbiased conversation about it, you know, even though I'll lean you towards Sony just because you're a video man as well. But there are just more pros than cons of moving over to the Sony platform when you're creating content out there, especially video content. That fast autofocus, in-body image stabilization, you can't beat it. It's so lightning fast.
That
you have to have that, right? Yeah. And you've got to have, you notice I'm using the right kind of lights behind me as well. I'm using video lights as opposed to regular $2 lights that you get from the dollar store or whatever.
Flicker
so I'm using lights that are built for video. Yeah. So you're not seeing the shutter and the flicker from the video, from the lights as well. All that kind of stuff matters. And Sony just really accommodates for that beautifully as opposed to some of the other manufacturers. Other manufacturers are doing well, but Sony, in my opinion, just does it better.
All right, man.
Come on, man. Get it, man.
Gosh,
let's log on into Amazon right now and spend some of that Thorpe money now.
Dude, I need something. Buy me coffees, man. So Chris has a question. He says, which Sony lens is comparable to Sigma? I want to take Deanna Gladney's advice and think ahead to get what I can graduate into.
I used to have a lot of G Master lenses. So the top of the line in terms of build quality and glass and things of that nature. Right now I'm shooting off of the Sony 20mm G lens. Right. So that's what I'm using as my primary go-to. And with, again, the Sony camera system, you can use what's called clear image zoom. So you can actually allow the camera to zoom in without degrading the image quality.
Hmm.
So we typically talk about optical versus digital type of zoom when we're using these cameras. But with clear image zoom, it allows you to actually essentially crop into the image without losing image quality. So that's what I'm using. Again, the 20mm Sony lens right there on this ZV-E10, I've got just a kit lens. And what is that? That's just a 16 to 50 right there, 3.5 to 5.6. So I've got it wide open at, it's 3.5. I don't need that to really have the blurry background.
Yeah.
This lens, I just got my Sony lens, but I'm still using the Sigma 16 on this one in particular. But yeah, I am, I'm switching all to all Sony glass. And this 20 millimeter is the one to go to in terms of what I see the best benefit.
And it looks good. It's crispy.
Look at
it
looks good. Look at all this salt in the beard. Yeah. Golly, I got to do something about that. I should have came in looking more presentable.
I don't know how much credit we give to the lens or maybe just a good looking dude. I don't know. I mean, whichever one. I mean,
it's the lens. It's the lens, brother.
So yeah. How close do you have that 20 mil? Because you know I use a 35. 35 yeah. is not. I mean, it's an arm's reach away. Like I can't like mess with my camera settings with it when I got it on. But how close are you there to that thing?
2.5 feet.
2.5 feet.
I know exactly. So, look, yeah. I'm like Sean Boyd. Y'all call him Doc. I have a ruler as well. I know exactly how far everything is. All right, to the inch. So it's 2.5 feet to that lens from my to my face.
And is that full on right now? Is that like the full width right now, or you get that zoomed in a little bit with Ecamm?
I've got it zoomed in just for the way that you have your scene set up. So uh-huh. I'm zoomed in via Ecamm to turn on the zoom.
Okay, gotcha. So just a little bit there. All right.
Yeah, but I'm wide open on the camera in and of itself, right? Yeah. Because by having the camera wide open, it allows for the eye tracking to work flawlessly, right? So instead of using I don't need to use clear image zoom in the studio. So I have the camera and the lens all the way open. And then within my software, that's where I can zoom and move me within the frame. So the way that you have this particular web frame, I've zoomed it into where I just have a very small amount of headroom.
Yeah.
And I don't have you seeing all of the garbage that's in my studio right now.
I've got even with it zoomed in with a digital zoom, which digital zoom typically doesn't look that great, this lens still looks great, man. It looks awesome. I love it.
It's the route to go, man. It's the body, it's the lens, it's the glass, those kind of things. You get what you pay for again. So
I was going to talk about my 35 millimeter, but
folks out there,
forget it. No, I'm just kidding.
don't throw it, sell it, right? You know, Facebook Marketplace, Mercari.
We'll start an auction. The other one how's your auctioneer skills, James? We'll go ahead and auction this off in the chat. Chris Stone says, "Here comes the gas." Yeah, man.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, there
I
it
got
is.
It right
and
now.
We're talking about G Master. Oh my gosh, these guys, man.
Yeah, I'm like over here. I'm like, wait, Rodecaster Pro, Sony. Okay, I got a long. Honey, please don't come in here.
No, man, I done just dropped $2,000 just messing with, man, I can't come on this show anymore. I done just spent $2,000 hanging out with this guy.
Dude, yeah, I know, right? Okay. Yeah, I can't hang out with you. All right, man, I got a couple more subjects here. We can burn through them in the next 4 or 5 minutes and wrap this thing up. But let's talk about lights. You touched on a little bit about video lights. So I think, in my opinion, audio and video or audio and lighting is like the most important things, even over camera. Like you can have a decent camera.
Yeah.
And really hone in on your lighting and get some really good video. Well, I'll say better video. So what kind of, you got great lighting. What kind of lights are you using?
I have standardized for no real reason on Godox. Godox makes video lighting gear. I've had Neewer. I've had, that was the only other one that I really had. I looked at Nanlite. Nanlite is phenomenal as well. Aperture is phenomenal as well. But I had some Elgatos as well. I left the Elgatos for, I had an issue with them because the Elgato ring lights that connect to your Wi-Fi network, I had some early ones that were falling off of my network and just were becoming just unusable. So again, long story short, I've got two Godox ES45s, kind of the gaming lights as my key lights. I've got one pointing to my wall and I got another one pointing, actually bouncing off of the wall to soften the light coming off. They're large panels. So I've gotten them softening the light coming off and I can adjust the temperature and I can adjust how bright that they are as well, just from this remote here. So it comes with a remote control and with an app as well, which I love. In the back, you see the lightsabers. Right. I've got four of these Godox TL60s. spread out across the studio. And those are the ones, again, high quality video lights that I can change. They're all those are all RGB as well. So I can have those change different color depending on branding, depending on the show, whatever the case may be. So I got four of those. Those are my main lights. So just those four TL60 tubes and the two ES45s. From a practicals perspective, I still got Hue lights around, right? Philips Hue, and they still do a decent job, especially from a practical lighting perspective. So those are kind of just the ambient lights, and those are what's are providing the soft white and the white highlights that you're seeing throughout the room.
All right, yeah. Man, I love it. I love Godox as well. I got one of their big, big video softbox lights, and kind of like Monty Weaver. I don't know if that's the same brand, but that same style. Just ginormous softbox. Once again, I consulted with a photographer about, getting some really good lighting. And man, that thing, I can't wait to get back to it. Because right now, this is funny, I have a ring, and you got to use, and I love what you said about bouncing light, because oftentimes you get on these live streams and you see this snake eyes, like you can see the ring light reflection, and you're like, man, that person looks weird. It can't be healthy for you to look into a light like that with the phone. Yeah. It just can't do it.
Can't do it all day, right? There's sometimes something bouncing off and bouncing in you, causing you to just don't do it. Try not to do it.
And so when I got here in Puerto Rico, man, I didn't bring that big light with me. And so I was like, I gotta get something. So I went to Walmart, I got a little cheap ring light. It's too harsh a light. No matter what I did, this room is really small and it's pretty light painted. And I took a pillowcase, maybe a fire hazard, took a pillowcase, white one, put it over top of it, and just now I bounce it. Of course, now I've had to change it around for this iPhone I'm using today because I'm packing up. But, play around with your light. And one of the tips I heard a long time ago, a friend told me, was like, go outside and see where the light comes from. It comes from top down. It comes from an angle down. It doesn't never blast into your face. Like the sun isn't sitting on the horizon all day just smashing your face. And so I think that's a pretty good tip and I try to go super high and as high as the light will go or as high as I can get it at like a 45 one way or the other just to get that, softer, dramatic shot. And there's all kinds of lighting techniques out there. I watched 20 hours of YouTube videos to figure out which one I wanted.
I mean, the most control that you could have over your lighting within your studio, within your environment, the better, right? You could do a lot of tricks as well, like you say, which is placement, positioning, bouncing off of the wall. The color of your walls is hugely important as well. As opposed to a white room and white walls, I mean, 18% gray is what we got rocking right here. So I can make this back wall look any color that I want to. Another thing is, again, think about your camera settings. Think of the exposure triangle on your camera, right? The wider you open that aperture, the frame rate that you're utilizing, all of that also not only just helps the picture and the view quality, but it also controls how much light is coming into the camera. So that affects the visuals as well. So all of those things play into concert in terms of how you're going to set up your environment. So yeah, the lighting and the camera all work together and you got to, And airflow. Oh my goodness. Hold on. Before we go, I know you I know you're a busy man, but listen, you got to have some proper airflow in here because if you're sitting here and you're sweating, you don't look comfortable, all things are bad. So man, I got my Dyson running over here that's pumping out fresh air. I got many fans that are hitting my cameras to make sure that they don't overheat. They're Sony cameras, so they don't overheat anyway. But just in case, I got fans running on them, keep the room cool and things of that nature. But there's so many of these little intricate pieces of that folks don't see behind the scenes that really matter to make sure that one, your internet doesn't go down, your stream doesn't go down, and that your gear is properly taken care of. So
that's right, man. It's one thing to buy it. It's another thing to take care of it. And so, man, we've talked about a ton of different things, and I really appreciate you coming on. Sorry Amazon Live didn't work out for us, but maybe next time I'll figure that out. I don't know, man. I tested yesterday, same settings, different day.
That's all right. Whatever. I'll give Bezos a call. I'll see what's going on. Maybe he's doing something.
Yeah, man, call Bezos. Him. I know he's probably
on his yacht. I know a guy.
Call him. I know you guys went to college together and all that. Just call
there
him.
There it is, but listen, I know a guy.
Well, man, you've been a ton of fun. So how does people get in touch with you, man? What's the best way? I know I put your Instagram handle on here, but is there another way somebody can come find you and hang out with you online?
HicksNewMedia.com. That's the hub for everything. Go to HicksNewMedia.com. You will see links to all of my social profiles. You'll see links to my YouTube channel, to all of my content that I'm creating for other social networks and things of that nature. So you can also reach out via my newsletter. But again, everything right there, HicksMedia.com.
Love it, man. Well, James, thanks for being on the show. We're going to do it again. I'm already brainstorming like so much stuff that we could collaborate on. And that's the beauty of what we're doing, man, creating this creator community to, you know, level up and help each other. And you guys are inspiration for sure. So I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you, brother. Have safe travels coming back to the mainland too.
Yeah, I will. I'm excited, man. I gotta make that trip. I gotta make that Miami to North Carolina drive. So yeah, it's fun. But appreciate you, man. Thanks so much, James. All right, everybody, that is all for Creating Daily. Man, this video camera like went whack. This iPhone camera. Anyway, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get off of it. I'm going to be back in a week. I'm going to be back June 1st and going live again. I'm taking just a week off to get all the stuff back here and get back and settled into my North Carolina home. So I'm excited about that. Big week coming up next week. We got VidFest. We got PodFest. I know Chris Stone is speaking at that. Chris Giles, Monty Weaver. A lot of people are going to be speaking at that event. So if you haven't already planned to be there, make sure you go be there. And if anybody in the chat wants to drop a discount code or whatnot, be sure to drop that. I know there's all kinds of them. Unfortunately, I will be in Florida at that time, but I will be driving through Florida. So if you're if you happen to be on Highway 95 at some point and you want to grab lunch and pet my dogs, let me know. We'll make that happen. Appreciate everybody jumping in the chat. Super fun today. James brought the crowd with him. So once again, guys, I'll miss you. I will miss you for the next week as I'm moving. But I'm excited to come back, and I'll be more energized than ever, more motivated than ever. Got a lot of new cool projects coming up when I get back in the States, and can't wait to share all that with you and continue to inspire you in your creator journey by bringing on other creators to give you tips, tricks, how-tos, all that kind of fun stuff. It's been a great show. It's been fun, and we'll see you June 1st, 2 p.m. Eastern. All right, go have a great day, and we'll see you soon.